Greetings, dear listener. This is episode 23 of the podcast, Beer is for Bisexual, my short story collection. This is going to be the Christmas Cranks Attend a Protest March. A shout out to listeners in Mexico, Spain, Germany, South Carolina, and New York. Here with me today are my son, Dante Valtorta.
Hello!
And my husband, Marco Valtorta.
Hi, and buongiorno.
Helping me read. I want to remind everyone to check out my film, Bermuda. It's a comedy feature film, both on Amazon, Tubi channels, and TLC, and my film, Disability, which is on Tubi. And there are lots of other films of mine on Amazon. I've also published a book, Tall Sarcastic Tales, which is a collection of the first 21, I think, of these short stories. And now I'm going to read The Christmas Cranks Attend a Protest March. The sled agent with coiled dark hair walked into Immaculate Consumption coffee sandwich shop and stood in line to order. Hands in pockets, placid face in control, practical shoes firmly planted on the floor. She was a young woman, no makeup. Arturo and Brenda sighed.
Well, she's looking good in her uniform,
said Brenda loudly. They were sitting at the best corner table, surveying the crowd. Arturo nodded his head.
Amen to that. Maybe we should both try to get arrested.
The sled agent glared at the two Christmas cranks. Brenda sipped her cappuccino.
You know, I'm sort of glad Carmen's not here.
Lydia would never understand either.
You know, you and I are the ones in the cranks who can best read each other's minds,
said Brenda.
Forget about Ruddy and the librarians.
Don't get me started about the computer scientists,
said Arturo.
And Oleander only thinks about other men.
Brenda raised her eyebrows.
Not anymore. I hear that Oleander has a girlfriend.
You heard about her, or you met her?
Arturo clenched his fists.
He thought he brought that bitch to my office the other day. Dulce de leche, or something like that. That's fior di latte in Italian.
Dulce Smith. Yeah, I met her too.
A black woman.
Well, Oleander is black.
You and I both know that race is a matter of opinion.
Brenda shrugged her shoulders.
Yeah, it might be, but people who call themselves black have a closed faculty group at the university.
My DNA says I'm 10% African.
Well, then join the black faculty group.
I just might,
said Arturo.
It's a fusion word.
The cranks in the black faculty group are planning to attend the March for Women this Saturday.
Arturo considered this.
Since Oleander dumped me, I'm not much in the mood for protesting. He and I always did that together.
The sled agent took a seat at a table as far away from the Christmas cranks as possible.
I didn't know you were Scottish,
said Arturo, putting a hand on Brenda's sleeve. Brenda was wearing embroidered jeans and a red plaid shirt.
What?
Brenda glanced down at her shirt.
No, this material means I like the outdoors.
Hillbilly lesbians,
grumbled Arturo, raising his eyebrows.
Always with the dogs and the hunting.
More like cats and gardening,
sniffed Brenda.
You may need to throw away your stereotypes.
Maybe I will,
said Arturo.
And maybe I'll go to that march on Saturday. Bring my wife.
Arturo showed up at the South Carolina State House grounds without his wife, Lydia, but with his granddaughter, Laura, who often got suspended from ninth grade for fighting. A crowd of college students was chanting, "Equal pay now," and carrying signs that said, "Get your laws off my body." "This is radical," said Laura, raising a fist.
"It's the 70s. All over again,"
said Arturo. They pushed through the crowd until they found Brenda, Carmen, Reddy, and Oleander.
"Greeting, cranks,"
said Arturo.
"You remember my granddaughter, Laura. She drove me here."
Laura was wearing ripped jeans, a puffball of frizzy hair, and a nail through one of her nostrils. "Laura," said Carmen, embracing her, "I didn't know you were old enough to drive."
"She doesn't have her license yet,"
said Arturo.
"But Lydia's got her appointment today."
He said this last part in a squeaky, mocking voice.
That flat, straightened hairstyle of hers should be illegal.
He and Laura slapped their hands in a high five. I almost have my permit, sort of, said Laura. Granddad's the best. Carmen, Brenda, and Oleander looked at each other. Arturo knew they had often heard him say that Laura belonged in prison and that his five other grandchildren were all a menace to society.
Don't look at me funny,
said Arturo.
Let's pick up some signs and join the protest.
This march was more of a stand-and-shout kind of thing than a moving body of protesters. The crowd stood in front of the State House and waved their signs at cars driving by. Lots of drivers honked at them in appreciation, and the crowd cheered each time. Dulce was handing out signs and stickers from the Planned Parenthood table.
That your girlfriend?
Said Arturo, nudging Oleander with his sign.
She's the woman I hang out with in order to get a break from you,
snapped Oleander.
And frankly, she's a big relief, thank you very much.
Oh, wow. The sex must be great,
shouted Arturo sarcastically as Oleander swung around and flounced back to the Planned Parenthood table. Laura was watching all this.
No, no. Do not let him hassle your tassels like that. We all love you.
She reached down and hugged Arturo's head. I don't know how I could survive high school without you.
Stop that,
said Arturo.
These people here think I'm tough and dirty.
He pointed toward Brenda, Carmen, and Reddy. Laura smirked.
I doubt that, no, no.
A big truck with elephant tires drove by and honked at the crowd. Laura and the other protesters cheered. Around lunchtime, Brenda suggested they all walk to the restaurant Sahara for hummus, soup, and bread. Arturo quickly agreed.
Laura and I are starving.
The battery on his wheelchair was still charged. They set off across the State House grounds. Brenda, Carmen, Oleander, and Reddy were all ahead of them.
Where is Dulce?
Arturo shouted. Laura rolled her eyes.
Oh, she has a meeting with Planned Parenthood,
shouted Oleander.
I'll bet she does,
said Arturo.
Or she got one good look at your friends and decided to dump your ass.
Oleander stuck his nose in the air and walked faster. Sahara was messy and noisy, but the food smells wafting from the kitchen were delicious.
Home at last,
said Arturo. He rolled to a table and left the others to order at the front counter. The best thing about being at Sahara was heading such a large, noisy group, and that it wasn't all fogies. Carmen and Laura were young people, in the social security sense of the word. Brenda and Oleander were all well below retirement age. Only he and Reddy gave off the putrid fog of age that surrounded him like a cloud whenever he and Lydia went out to eat. With young people surrounding him, there was less fear of discrimination, of the world tripping him up, or overturning his wheelchair to bounce ahead in the race of life. They all sat down at a crumb-filled table and began chattering about the march. The Moroccan chef arrived with a steaming plate of puffy bread. Laura grabbed the bread and ripped off half a piece for herself.
Laura, don't be a hog,
said Arturo.
Oh, don't worry, there's more bread coming,
Brenda reassured them.
And lentil soup. We ordered enough for a pride of lions.
They complained about work.
I didn't see President Hercules at the march today,
said Brenda.
And we have enough issues surrounding female faculty. Fathers being allowed to take pregnancy leave, equal pay.
Some mandroid just got promoted ahead of me in the English department, said Carmen. No chance I'll ever get to be department chair.
They stuck me on the third floor,
grumbled Arturo.
And only one of the bathrooms is wheelchair accessible.
What about trans faculty, said Laura.
Do you have any of those people?
The chef arrived with six bowls of steaming soup. The smell was overwhelmingly warm and spicy. Arturo inhaled and closed his eyes. For a couple of minutes, everyone slurped their soup. Oleander tore off a piece of bread.
Eat lentils in January and you'll be prosperous during the new year.
The cranks all nodded. What about trans faculty? Laura persisted.
Why? Are you thinking of getting the surgery?
Arturo worried that his granddaughter would not have an easy time as an adult. No, but my best friend Sasha is trans, said Laura. Female to male. We hang out and play music. Arturo rolled his eyes.
Yeah, I heard. Actually, your goth Christmas carol was okay.
I want to hear it, said Carmen.
Laura started singing. Burn down the Christmas tree, oh yeah, that's where the animals peed, oh yeah. Other diners turned around to glare at them. Arturo could not stop himself from smiling.
No, we don't have any trans professors,
said Oleander, putting on his professorial voice.
And this is an interesting point you've made, Laura. Lots of students are trans.
Give it to her straight,
said Arturo.
The university discriminates. We look away when straight faculty members molest students, and yet we don't hire trans faculty.
Wow, said Laura, slapping the table. Tell it, no, no.
Your grandfather is something else, said Reddy. No filter.
Laura grinned. This is why I love him. He helps me. The other day he told my American history professor that she was wrong and stupid, just plain wrong, about Reconstruction being bad.
Watch out, you might get a bad grade,
Oleander said. A bad grade? Who cares? Nonno keeps me feeling like maybe I want to be an adult someday, because not every adult is an asshole. The rest of the cranks nodded reflectively and scraped their soup bowls. The chef brought out another plate of puffy bread. At the end of the lunch, they all ordered Turkish coffee. Oleander poured each of them a tiny cup. He raised his own coffee.
Laura and Arturo, we attend this women's march for you. The rest of us have neither children nor grandchildren. The future of the world belongs to you. Women need their rights for this country to continue as a relatively free place to live.
Oleander bolted down his coffee.
Now I have to go and meet Dulce.
Why, you!
Arturo spun around in his wheelchair, but Laura held him back. Let him go, Nonno. He made a nice speech. On the way home, Arturo noticed that Laura drove carefully. She was the best driver in his family, even if she didn't have a license or a permit yet. Even if her clothes made no sense and her singing was off-key. Nobody was around, so he felt free to say,
I love you, Nipotina.
Laura gave him a stern look. You need to leave Oleander alone. Give him some space. You and Nonna Lydia give each other space, and it works. Arturo thought about Lydia and how she put up with him. How she never left him and had her own life and her own friends, but shared with Arturo a passion for mixed martial arts. How they critiqued their children and worried about their grandchildren.
You might be right,
said Arturo.
Of course, you are right.
But he pulled out his phone to search for Dulce Smith on the internet. And that's the end. And dear listener, we'll see you next month.
See you guys next month.
Bye.
And try to be safe.